Well, before we come to the Word of God tonight, let's once again pray and ask the Lord's richest blessings upon our time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your wonderful love to us in your Son. Oh God, we thank you for the fellowship that we have with you through him. And Lord, again, we just count it a privilege, the grandest privilege known to men, to be children of the living God, to be saved by your grace through faith in Christ. Oh Lord, again, we thank you for all that you've given to us in and through the gospel. We thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit of truth, the very earnest and down payment of the better things to come. And Lord, again, how we rejoice that we can be a part of the church, the society of the redeemed people. And Lord, again, we rejoice this night that we could sing your praises and tell of them to all that we know. Again, O God, thank you for being so good to us and making us your beloved saints. Lord, we look to you this night and ask that you would do us good, O God, that you would bring a clarity of mind, that you would drive away cloudiness and distractions, O God. Pierce through. Give us help, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it alone. Amen. Why is it that waiting is so difficult for most of us to do? I think if we're honest with ourselves, most of us would say that this is a real struggle that we have in our lives. Many of us are let's get it done yesterday type people. We say, why wait? Let's do it now. Most of us are eager go-getters, quick movers who in this instant generation desire speedy responses in life. Most of us hate delays, right? We really do. A slow-moving car in front of you, especially on Sunday morning when you're running late for church. We hate setbacks. We hate intermissions. Well, as we all know, life is filled with many of these types of things. Life is filled with many things that we must wait for. For example, if you're but a young teenager, you have to wait to get your license one day. If you're single, you have to wait to get married. A bunch of people here no longer have to wait for that. Oftentimes, and this is one of my biggest struggles in life, you have to wait for a phone call. After you place one to someone, days goes on and takes a long time sometimes for people to get back to you. Or an email that you sent to somebody. The read receipt went off 3 days ago. I still haven't gotten the receipt yet or the email back from them, even though I know they've read it. Very often we have to wait on long lines in the department store, and that certainly can irk many of us, I know. To be sure, waiting is a difficult thing to do. It takes much patience and lots of grace, especially if you're used to having things happen on the spot. Well, this afternoon I want to speak to you about another type of waiting, which, though very difficult to do, is absolutely vital for us if we are to grow spiritually as the people of God. This type of waiting, which we're called to do at times, is the very thing which our God has ordained to produce many good things in us and to teach us many good and valuable lessons. Well, what then is this type of waiting of which I now speak? Well, it's waiting on God. Church, I say that this type of waiting, if done rightly by us, will be a real blessing to us. As a matter of fact, this type of waiting on the Lord is that which we're commanded to do in our Bibles, and it'll be the focus of our attention tonight as we come to consider this topic as set forth in Psalm 27 and verse 14. Please turn with me there in your Bible, Psalm 27 and verse 14. Psalm 27 and verse 14, we return once again to this wonderful psalm. Now, Psalm 27, as you know, was written by David when he found himself going through a very difficult time in his life. While perhaps running from Saul or perhaps Absalom, David here very clearly is in great danger. And this most clearly is seen in the second half of the psalm, verses 7 to 13. Let's read them together so that we can get a sense of what I've just set forth. Psalm 27, picking up at verse 7, follow with me as we read to verse 13. David says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When you said, 'Seek my face,' My heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. Verse 13, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Well, clearly then, as I said, David, the servant of God, is in a tight spot as he writes this psalm. A host of problems surround him. He's anxious, he's worried, he's scared. Trouble abounds, so what does he do? He's feeling like he's at the end of his rope, so what good and godly counsel does he give himself? Well, this is what's found in verse 14 when he says, note it with me, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. While everything is in utter turmoil in David's life, having spoken to God in the previous verses, David now turns to himself and speaks to his own soul and says the words which are before us now. Well, this is the verse that we're going to consider tonight. And as we do, let's begin by noting, firstly, the commands given in 14a and b. The commands given. As David here is hard-pressed in his life, being frightened, frazzled, and fretting, he gives himself a talk. He gives himself a prescription for such a time as he finds himself in. David says to himself, firstly, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Well, these are excellent words, no doubt. But what do they mean? Well, firstly then, we read the words which say, verse 14a, wait on the Lord. So what does the word wait here mean? Well, naturally, when we think about wait, we tend to think it means to sit around and do nothing. But this is not the case here at all. As a matter of fact, the word wait here in Hebrew literally means to trust. The verb is in the PL form in Hebrew, and it literally means to utterly rely upon Jehovah. The word wait here means to have faith in him, to wait upon him in faith, as some of your marginal readings have it. The idea is that in our times of adversity, we are to confidently hope in and look to God with great eager expectation. David says to himself, wait on the Lord. Things are difficult, lots going on, trials on every side. Firstly, wait on the Lord. Here's his first bit of counsel to himself. He says, so as to give himself comfort and hope in this hard time, stop being anxious, stop being scared, rather wait on Jehovah. Now, to be sure, this hopeful counsel that David gives himself here is that which he speaks about in many places in the Bible. I'll just mention a few of them. Note first, Psalm 25, verses 1 to 3. Psalm 25, verses 1 to 3, the heading of the psalm says, a plea for deliverance and forgiveness. Psalm 25, picking up at verse 1, David says, to you, O Lord, I lift my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits, same verb, on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. So David brings his case to the Lord. Let those who trust in you in faith, those who are looking to you, O God, to deliver them, O God, let none of those people be ashamed. Notice with me also verse 21 of this same psalm. Psalm 25, verse 21, David says, let integrity and uprightness preserve me. Now notice why. For I wait for you. Here's the grounds, the rationale, the basis of why David can say what he has just said. Let integrity and uprightness keep me, because God, I'm waiting upon you. Don't let my enemies have a cause to strike against me wrongfully, Lord, because I'm waiting on you to vindicate my cause. Notice Psalm 37, verses 8 and 9. Psalm 37, verses 8 and 9. we're back in this psalm once again. Psalm 37, verses 8 and 9, we saw it today. Notice the words here. David says, in speaking about the trials that the godly experience at the hands of wicked men, Psalm 37, verse 8, he says, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm." Notice why. "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." Finally, notice with me Psalm 40, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 40, verses 1 and 2. Again, David setting forth faith in the time of a trial in his life. He says, first thing, "I waited," there's our word, "patiently for the Lord. The result, he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps." We'll stop there, just verses 1 and 2. Well, surely then all of these verses are very encouraging as they show the great benefits that came to this child of God as, in fact, he was waiting upon Jehovah to respond to him in his time of need. All of these passages teach us that for the one who has his eye upon God in difficult times for help, God, in fact, will respond to him. "I waited," David says. "He heard, he inclined his ear." The result, "He brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon the rock. He established my steps." Jump back with me to Psalm 27 and verse 14. Psalm 27 and verse 14. As David finds himself here in this difficult situation, adversaries on the right, trials on the left, his first bit of instruction to himself is to wait upon his God. He says to himself, "David, stop fretting, start believing. David, be patient. David, be persistent. David, be prayerful. David, be hopeful." Well, having said this to himself, he has yet another counsel in 14b. As David waits upon God, he sets forth next what his disposition is to be like in this time. We ask, is David to be sullen in a difficult time? Was he to be in despair? Was he to complain? Well, actually, no. Rather, he commands himself next in 14b, note the language, to be of good cheer, or rather, courage. Be of good courage. So two commands. Firstly, wait upon the Lord. Secondly, be of good courage. What's the meaning of these words? Well, simply put, they mean that David is to be confident while he is looking to the Lord for help. David is to be strong. That's a good understanding of the word courage. He's to be strong knowing that God will take care of all of his needs. Well, surely then these are encouraging words as well. Wait upon God and be strong while you are waiting. Whereas natively, we are very prone to lose hope when a dark providence comes our way. David here tells himself to do the very opposite thing. He says literally, be strong and stand firm. Well, why is it that David could say this? Because he knows that his God will respond to him. So he has some self-talk, some dialogue with his own consciousness and says, have faith in God and rest in him. He's going to take care of it. So therefore, you could be of good cheer. God will intervene. Now this second sentence here, be of good courage, is a very familiar phrase in the Bible. It's used in several different places of encouragement to God's people when they're about to face difficult times or trials. These words in 14b are used to encourage the saints. For example, we read the same words when Moses is giving his assignment to Joshua in Deuteronomy 31, verses 7 to 8. There Moses says to his soon-to-be successor, to Joshua, "Joshua, be strong and be of good courage. For you must go with this people into this land which the Lord your God has sworn to your fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. and the Lord. He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Very encouraging words to this young servant coming up into a leadership position. Again, God's personal commissioning of Joshua. We read these words all throughout Joshua chapter 1. God says, be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. All throughout chapter 1 of the book of Joshua, as God is encouraging his servant to lead the people into the promised land. And finally, then, Joshua himself, in encouraging the troops of Israel before they face their enemies, he says to them in Joshua 10, in verse 25, these words again, he says to the nation, do not be afraid nor be dismayed, be strong and of good courage, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you fight. Again, these are wonderful words, very familiar amongst the Old Testament people of God. David says, while keenly waiting upon the Lord to deliver him in this trial, be of good cheer, David, for the Lord in due time will answer you. Now, we might ask the question at this point, why does David give himself this counsel? In other words, why should David wait upon the Lord? Why should he be of good courage? Why should he be hopeful in these circumstances? Well, the answer to these questions are given in 14c when he states a glorious promise. Having told himself to wait upon the Lord, that is, look to him in faith, and to be of good courage, notice with me next the reason for this when he says, 14c, and he, that is God, shall strengthen your heart. Oh, these are great words indeed. It's the very thing that David needed to know in this time of difficulty in his life. While David is all churned up within his own self, distraught over his lot, he says, have faith in God, stand firm, and the result will be that God will strengthen your heart. We need to speak to ourselves from time to time. Pastor Buckley spoke about that, I believe it was today. Now, in the original, these words are much stronger here in this phrase. In the original, the verb strengthen is in the hifel form, which is used in Hebrew to express causation. So simply put, this means that David here, in using this phrase, is telling us what God will do, what is sure to do for us, and the imperfect tense of the verb tells us that this is what will be constant. So simply stated, here it is. Literally, David says in these words, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall continually cause you to be strengthened. Causation. And he shall strengthen your heart. He shall cause you to be strengthened. That's the wonderful promise. In perfect tense, he shall continually cause you to be strengthened. I don't know about you, but me, that opens up the meaning and helps me to get a better sense for it. Wait on the Lord, David. Be of good cheer. The reason is that God will cause you to be continually strengthened. I think that's quite wonderful personally. It's God's promise for his people. As we look to him by faith, through the Lord Jesus Christ daily, God will help us to continually to be strengthened on an ongoing basis. And therefore, Spurgeon says regarding this verse, quote, there's really nothing to be depressed about. There is no real danger. You are safe while God lives. I love that statement. You're safe while God lives. Well, God lives forever, so I'm always safe. And while Christ pleads and while the Spirit of God dwells in you, therefore, be not dismayed, Spurgeon says, nor even dream of fear. He says, be not fearful and unbelieving, but play the man. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Amen. Well, the last little few words here in that third sentence, 14c. And he shall strengthen where? Your heart. your heart. Well, clearly David knew where our greatest weakness lies, right? This is the place where we need the most good done to us. He says that God will strengthen you continually in the deepest recesses of your being. And that's what we need to know, church, when we're going through trials and when difficulties abound and enemies are against us and we're at the end of our ropes. We need to know that God will minister to us right here, because it is a difficult providence. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your inner man. Now, if you're a Christian here today, you know exactly what this is like in your own experience. You have experienced this in your life. You know what it's like to look to God in faith and to be hopeful that God will answer you because He's done it before. And in your own life, by God's grace, you've received the strength of God within your heart. It's what Paul calls that peace which passes all understanding. It's an incredible thing. But for the child of God, it's a reality. Amen? Well, having given us His command and stated His promise, notice with me finally in 14D the restatement made. Command given, promise stated, finally the restatement made. 14D, just so that David would not fall into despair or fear, yet again he gives himself his first command that he set forth in 14A. And so he says again, wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, I think it's good that David repeated himself because, you know, we can forget things very quickly. We can say to ourselves all the time, yes, I need to look to God in faith in this time of difficulty. And then what happened? Times of difficulty comes and I'm fretting. Well, David says, I don't want that to happen. So having told myself to wait on the Lord, I end this section by saying, wait again. Don't forget. Remind yourself, wait and keep waiting, because that's how you'll be good cheer, and that's how God will strengthen your heart. So David repeats himself. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Interesting, he adds the words, I say. Wait, self. Get this directive again, I say, wait on Jehovah. Well, so ends David's inspired self-talk. Here's this counsel that he gives to himself. In the midst of a trying circumstance, he says, I will not be overcome by it. Rather, I will wait on the Lord. Well, clearly then, David here in this psalm, by giving these words to us and for the community of believing saints, was not only giving a prescription for himself, but rather for all of the people of God, so that they know exactly what to do in their times of trials. And in light of this, I make some applications for ourselves. Brethren, I ask you, why is it good for us to wait upon the Lord? Why should we heed David's advice? Why should we copy what David did while he was going through this hardship in his life? Well, I'll give you five reasons, and the first is this. Firstly, when we wait on the Lord, we show our submission to Him. Our submission to Him. What did the hymn writer say? Whate'er my God ordains is right. Whatever He ordains is right. His holy will abideth. I will be still whate'er He doth, and follow where He guideth. He is my God, though dark my road, He holds me that I shall not fall, wherefore to Him I leave it all. What do those words speak of? Submission. Submission. Whate'er my God ordains is right. I leave the whole kit and caboodle to Him. It's difficult. It's hard. I may not understand it. Who could have expected such a thing in this time in our lives? But whate'er my God ordains is right. It's right. The psalmist speaks of a willing submission to God, brethren. And the psalmist knows that God loves us and He always ordains what's best for us. So he doesn't complain and kick against God's providence. No, he commits himself to God as a loving and faithful creator. And church, we need to do the same. We need to do the same. This is how we show our submission to him. We acknowledge that God is in control, and therefore we will wait upon him. And in doing this, we acknowledge his kingship and our submission to it. Secondly, it's good for us to wait on the Lord because in doing this, it builds our faith. It builds our faith. I ask you, church, listen closely. Do you believe that the God of the Bible is almighty and that he can deliver you out of your trials? Do you? Do you believe that? I mean, is he really almighty? The almighty God, maker of heaven and earth, the one who sustains all things and upholds all things by the power of his word. Do you really believe that that's the God that you are trusting in now? Or is God just some figment of the imagination? Well, you say, no, he's not some figment of my imagination. Well, I'm glad you said this, but I ask you then, if in fact he is the almighty God, then why don't we in times of trouble act like it? You see, church, what we believe about God is all good and said when things are going well. But listen, the real test is not when things are going well. It's when things are going bad. That's when we see what our faith is really made of. That's when we see what we're really made of. It's where we see where our confidence really lies. When God throws us a curveball that we were not expecting. Mm-hmm. Well, we all need to grow then in grace when it comes to this matter of having our faith being built up in times of difficulties. It's good for us to wait upon God because if we're truly saved, then these are times that God uses in our life to build up our faith. Because we're weak and we're frail, but God gives us grace. And he helps us to see his great power and wisdom. And therefore, we're strengthened to trust him even more. Church, we must trust the Lord in our times of trouble. Knowing, in fact, that he is the Almighty God. We need to truly believe that our God will act upon our behalf, even as he said he would. And in doing this, our confidence in him will be built up. Church, I say, God is able to deliver us. Doubt no more. Thirdly, it's good for us to wait upon the Lord because it allows God to show his greatness before us and in us. His greatness before us and in us. Church, don't you just love when, for lack of a better word, God just wows you? Right? I got a wonderful email a few days ago. I won't say the couple, but you all probably know. But I was going to ask them if I could read it in the message tonight about a wonderful deliverance that God wrought on behalf of this family. It was great. It's the very thing that I'm talking about now. It's God wowing us. God amazing us. I mean, you find yourself in an unbelievably hard trial that apparently there's no way, humanly speaking, that you're going to get out of it. It's going to be very hard and difficult. And then what? Well, seemingly out of nowhere, God with an outstretched arm rescues you. And the result is that you praise his name. I love when this happens. It's a great thing. Time and time again, God loves to do that. And when he does, he gets all the praise. But not only does waiting on the Lord good for us because it allows him to show his greatness before us, but it also allows him to show his greatness in us. Now, what do I mean by this? Well, simply put, when we're weak, he's what? Strong. And there are often times when we're going through hard trials, when we feel so weak and beggarly and low before him and broken, we can't stand. Feel like the wind's been taken out of our sails, and then God comes and he strengthens us and he ministers to us and he gives us the ability to stand strong and mighty before him and others. Well, this indeed then is a glorious thing. Waiting on God allows us, or Him rather, to show His greatness before us and in us. Fourthly, it's good for us to wait upon the Lord because in doing this we show our dependence upon Him. We are dependent upon God. For the Lord Jesus says, apart from Him, we can do no thing. And yet sometimes we act very independent of the Lord. We run ahead of the Lord. And when we do it, we always what? Fall on our faces. And again, church, while waiting on the Lord does not mean that we are not to do anything in times of trials, it does mean that first and foremost, we need to look to Him in faith and believe that He will deliver us. Is this what you do when trials come your way? When an unexpected bill shows up in the mail, do you pray or fret? When bad news comes from afar, do you seek the Lord or do you complain? I hope you seek the Lord. I hope I pray. Church, in times of trial, we need to do what David did in the Psalm. What did David do? David rebuked his anxieties. David was struggling, right? I said that in the outset. But he didn't cave in. David was scared, but he didn't give up. Rather, he looked to God in Christ and found for himself great comfort for his soul. We must do the same. Listen, dear ones, our God will act on our behalf. And we ought not to be in utter despair as the people of God. If God is God, He's going to take care of our situations. Make no mistake about it. We believe He's God. We believe that He's the King, eternal, immortal, invisible. The King of kings, Lord of lords, the sovereign monarch who rules all things from His throne in heaven. Well, may these not just be words, brethren, but truths that we rest upon and act upon as the people of God. Listen, God promises to intervene. And in light of this fact, let us never stop looking to Him in dependence to do these things for us. Finally, then, it's good for us to wait upon the Lord because in doing this, we show our humility before Him. Our humility before Him. Wait on the Lord, servant of God. Look to Him by faith to answer you. What does that show? It's a servant waiting for his master to bring the answer. It's the child waiting for his parent to come and bring relief. Church, our God is not on our time clock. God does not operate according to our schedules, although we would like Him to. He's God. And He does whatsoever He willeth in heaven and in earth. But when we wait for Him humbly, this is something that gives glory to His name. Dear ones, when we wait upon God, it puts us in the proper frame of mind. God is King. We are not. He is God. We are not. God is a big God and He has many concerns. Not the only one He's concerned about. He's got lots of concerns. And while He is very concerned about each and every one of us individually, as we wait upon Him, we have a proper perspective about life and about the Lord our God. He operates in His time, not in ours. Now granted, sometimes God will, on the spot, answer us. And praise God, for when He does this, we're not always waiting on the Lord in faith. Sometimes something happens. We say, "Oh Lord, help!" And immediately God intervenes. But not all the time. And while we wait upon the Lord, dear brethren, it helps us to be low before Him And this is a great, great thing. Humble believers looking to God and Christ in hope to have Him come and bless us. I say this is a glorious thing, and may it always be true of us, the people of God. Well, today we've been considering the topic of waiting upon the Lord. Waiting is a hard thing to do. It surely is. It might be one of the hardest aspects of the Christian life. But I say, church, it's so very vital. It's vital. It shows our submission to God. It builds our faith. It allows God to display His greatness to us and in us. It causes us to be dependent upon Him. And it keeps us humble. Well, church, in light of these things, may we always be found waiting upon the Lord, looking to Him in faith, to richly bless us and to encourage us and to strengthen us in times of difficulty. May we, especially in our trials, speak to ourselves like David did and not give up hope and wind up in utter despair, but say, self, look to Christ. Be of good courage. The Lord shall strengthen your heart. This, dear congregation, is how we will find help in our trials. This is how we will renew our strength. This is how we will mount up with wings like eagles. This is how we will run and not grow weary. And this is how we will walk and not faint. Well, may the Lord help us to do these very things in our own lives. Let's pray. Our Father, we're very thankful for David's self-talk. We're thankful, O God, that his language immediately rebukes us and challenges us. It also instructs us, Lord, to not be a fretting people who lose despair and give up hope. We ask, O God, tonight that you would take the words of your servant and use them for our good, Lord, for we do not know what a day may bring forth. So, Lord, we ask that you would help us to wait upon you. Lord, that we would be of good cheer, and that as we do these things, O God, indeed you would strengthen our hearts. Help us, O God, we pray, for we are weak people, but you are almighty. Bless us then, we pray, in these things. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.